All right, Dwayne Brummett here with Ali Albarrigo. And Ali, this is our 10th call, so we got 10 calls down, and we're going to talk about stick strategies today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing awesome, and I'm excited to – I can't believe it's our 10th call already, and that's just amazing. I'm just hoping that people are out there listening and really taking to heart these little tidbits of, you know, golden nuggets, as I call them, that they're going to really use them and benefit from them.
Well, I can tell you that they are because of all of the metrics that I have, obviously, behind the scenes. We can see how many downloads and how many people are listening online compared to downloading, and even to what browser they're using in order to cite and listen to it. So, yeah, it's great because there's actually about a 50% rate with regards to the downloads compared to the listens. So there's people that are actually downloading it from the site instead of just listening in online, so they can just put it on their MP3 player or iPod or something. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. I love that. And isn't it cool, the technology that we have? And our, I know our conversation is on strategies, and you know, but this is actually kind of a little bit towards that. But knowing through algorithms and Google Analytics and all this different stuff, that we could never really get that information just 8 years, 9 years ago, or 10 years ago. It wasn't really that easily accessible to us as business owners. For example, you know, you run an ad in the newspaper. That was what we did. We mailed out door hangers, or not door hangers, we put door hangers out, or we mailed out a postcard, direct mail, and you just kind of hope for the best. And if you got a good response, you clapped and you were excited and you did it again, or you know, or you did what one of the marketing geniuses, and I'm holding up my quote fingers, I always do that because he obviously wasn't a genius, because he said to me, oh, what we got to do is come up with a campaign, $30,000, $40,000, and then we'll test market and see what ads work, and if people respond, we're doing good. If not, nowadays you could do that without even having to spend a penny. You could put an ad on Google and see if it gets response. If it does, you can analyze it compared to the keywords and what pages they're going to and how long they spent on your website, et cetera, et cetera. So it's quite incredible. So it's an exciting time.
Yeah, and it can be overwhelming, though, too, if we're not careful.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It certainly could be, especially for, and this is why I laugh. I've heard a few coaches recently say, you don't need to pay someone to do your Google AdWords, so you do it yourself. It's easy. Well, that's okay. You could make an ad, and you could probably figure it out, but it's not easy to come up with the right concept, not easy to come up with the right branding, and also it's not easy to track and take that data analysis, you know, and be able to figure out and get an answer from it. It's a lot more detailed than it really seems to be at times.
Absolutely, and you might as well do what you're best at. So if you're best at teaching, you just get in there and teach, and you hire other people to do the other things that you're not best at.
Absolutely. I mean, what's the sense? Why bother trying to be the master of all, you know, what's that old saying, you know, master of all trades?
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. There, you can't do it all. I realize that too, and plus, there are a lot of things that you're not good at, that, and the reason why is because you don't like it all that much, but we force ourselves to do it, and we suck at it, we hate it. And of course we're not good at it because we hate it, and we're not going to put full effort forward. And I get this a lot when I tell people, go out and meet business owners and put your rack cards up and put them out in stores. And they don't want to do that. They come up with every excuse in the book. It was rainy. It was sunny. It was hot. It was cold. It, you know, there's a little snow on the ground. There wasn't any snow on the ground. It's like every excuse you could think of for why they don't do it. And the reason being is that they don't want to do it. That's the reason, bottom line. So hire someone to get it done. That kind of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to talk about stick strategies today. And just to give you a definition, everyone, what stick strategies are. We're focusing primarily on our own students. And these are strategies to help us, like our schools, to be able to be stuck in their mind. We always want to, as martial arts school owners, we want to be reinforcing the benefits of our school. It's not just right to, you know, sell them on the benefits in the beginning, but we have to actually continually, to, you know, remind them. I mean, how many conversations, Ali, have you had with coaching clients where you have to remind them of the benefits of this task that you asked them to do, and it's actually the benefits that motivate them to get the task done.
Right. I mean, endlessly. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I had to do that, and not just the one time, but the 27 times to remind them and push them and keep pushing them to do it. So, I mean, yeah, it's incredible. I mean, this is one of the biggest things that I find is a struggle for me at coaching people.
So let's go over some of the stick strategies that we use at our schools so that, you know, the call or the listeners can actually, you know, implement some of these. And hey, listen, some of you may already be doing some of these, but if we elaborate on it, there's a specific reason why we're elaborating on it, because maybe there is a small little thing that we are doing that you're not inside of that system that will actually make the system even 10 times better. So I had written down some ideas. I know you have too, so maybe we can kind of go back and forth. And but the very first one that I wrote down, and these aren't in any order, unfortunately. I was just brainstorming when I was deciding, you know, what I wanted to write down. But is your 246 calls. And I know we've talked about these before. I'm not going to beat them to death. But Allie and I actually do 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 calls. So on week 2, week 4, week 6, week 8, and week 10, we do these calls. What's the importance, Allie, do you feel, for these calls?
Well, I mean, there's multiple levels of importance. But really, if I could kind of dumb it down, the most important thing is to right away, from the beginning of when they join in their membership, which is the most volatile time of their career, is to develop a communication network with the families or the students or, you know, the parents of the child. That communication network consists of a few layers. Number one is to explain to them what they're actually involved in, to make sure that they understand that they, you know, they didn't just jump in and not have an education. And quite frankly, that happens all the time. I have people who've been with me for years, and the parents still don't get it. They just don't understand what they have at their fingertips that could change their child's life or their own life as a student. So it's developing that communication network. And then the second thing is opening up a can of worms. That's my way of calling, you know, bringing out the problems before they happen. And here's some quick analogy. We teach self-defense. We don't teach people to go out and get beat up and then come back and work on how they got hit in the jaw. We say, what happens if you're going to get hit in the jaw? This is what you do. And then we practice it so every time they learn to block, they learn to move, they learn to counter. So we're preparing them. We're preemptively preparing them, right? But we don't do that with the parents. So in the communication and the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 week calls, we're constantly telling them, Mr. Smith, this is what you would do if Johnny wants to quit, or Mr. Jones, when you come to train and you're sore, don't stop for a week and miss out for 3 days or whatever the case may be. Here's the steps, concise steps of what to do. And also to teach them how to communicate when they do come up with struggles, when they do have frustrations, when they do have financial issues, or when they do have a kid that says, I don't want to go anymore. We have to tell them what to do. And if we don't, they're going to guess what to do. And most of the time that guess is going to be wrong. Like, I'm going to just give them a break for a few weeks. Bad, because we'll never get them back after that. But if they know ahead of time, no, don't do that, bring them in, we'll high-five them, we'll motivate them in class, we'll give them a reward or an award or whatever the case may be for their consistent training. That's how we learn to, you know, get them and keep retention, so to speak. So that's why 2, 4, 6 week calls. And of course, every single week that we call, we ask for referrals. So we're turning that excited client, that motivated client, into a referring client to get new clients in the door. That's just some of the basics.
And it's so much harder to quit when your best friend Johnny is doing it with you. So
right, absolutely, without a doubt.
So, yeah, 2, 4, 6 week, you know, 8, 10 calls are vitally important. I think the crux of this, if you're looking to build this system and you already have it or you don't already have it, I think one of the major things that Allie talked about is really ward off the conversations that could be happening later on down the road. You know, what to do if they're sick, what to do if they want to quit, what to do if they have bad behavior, if they're, you know, so those type of things you can build into that system if you already don't have that in there. If you do, kudos to you. Another one. Oh, go ahead. I did the first one. You can give another one. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just saying right to what you were saying, and you could go on, but at the same time, too, I wanted to add, don't be afraid of doing what I call opening that can of worms. Like, for instance, when I first started doing my calls, I was on a mission to get off that phone the minute they were happy. Like, I didn't want to turn up any untouched stuff. Like, for example, I'd say, hey, Mrs. Smith, how are things going? And they go, oh, this is the greatest thing. He's at the door with his bag. It's the only thing in the world he's ever loved. And I know that that's only short-lived until it gets to be routine. So I would say to that mom, I'd say, you know what, I understand it's great right now and I'm excited. We have a great program, but I want you to know, Mrs. Smith, inevitably little Johnny or, you know, your husband or you are going to want to quit or you're going to get demotivated. And here are the things that you should do, especially as a parent. Just imagine them knowing. So Johnny goes, I don't want to go. Well, we have a real good solution for that. We tell all the parents to then shift their activities of what they're doing before they go to the martial arts. So if they're hanging out on their DS or their, you know, their new iPad or whatever it is, we then start to give them chores right before they have to leave, so that now they're cleaning the kitchen, cleaning their room, you know, vacuuming the carpet. And now mom says, let's go to the dojo. Man, they'll put that vacuum down in a heartbeat because they want to go. It's just one little strategy, just a shift in perspective. It's like a lot of times parents will bring their kids and say, time to go to karate, and then you drag them out of a pool and send all their friends home, you know, in the middle of summer. We tell them not to do that ahead of time. Close it down at 3 o'clock because you're going at 4. Make sure the parents pick up their kids. And now Johnny's sitting doing nothing, waiting for the next area of fun, which is the school. So it's all about how we, the mindset of how we set things up. And by the way, that's what we do. This is the kind of thing that we teach in the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10-week calls. And by the way, as we're creating this relationship with these parents, how much easier is it going to be to get them to upgrade or buy their next gear or go to the next seminar or come to the next parents' night out? They're used to talking with you. They feel comfortable. That's why it's so important.
Absolutely. And there's so much more that we can talk about with 2.
Oh, yeah. And we can do a whole entire 4 or 5 calls just on this one topic.
Well, another one that we use and is we have our text club. And so every week we have texts that go out and let everybody know what's going on here at the studio. So, for instance, today, as we're recording this, is Kashmir Pulaski Day. And so, I don't even know if I pronounced his name right, but anyways, that they, you know, everybody is going to receive a text today about the fact that we are open today. We're not closed. But then also in addition to that is the information about the Nerf Wars we have coming up and our summer camp sales. They're inside of that text. And so that's just one little strategy to stay connected with your students and use. You know, everybody reads texts, so nobody's not going to read the text most often. So what we do is when we've got like posters that are hanging up here that they can, you know, sign up for the text club, but we also strategically ask them to do it. I think it's like 5 days after they become a student in our system, a mailer goes out, an actual physical postcard that has the information on it, what the importance of them signing up for it. And of course, it does have the rules and regulations, like they're going to receive up, you know, at least 4 texts per month, up to 8 texts per month, you know, so charges may apply, that type of thing. So we utilize the texting a lot.
Well, that's great. And you know what? I don't actually utilize that as much as I would like to. And you and I should talk about that as well, because I'd also like to get a good texting program. We had one, and then, you know, you only use X amount of texts a month, and then all of a sudden it was we're getting all these expensive charges and so on. So we kind of just got stopped doing it. And by the way, one tip, though, that I may add to texting or whatever communication network that you're using is that you probably should ask people ahead of time what they prefer as their means of communication. In other words, you can't just immediately plug everyone in. Let's pretend we have a senior class. We don't want to plug them all into texting and email because some of them don't, they have an aversion to social media. You know, so, or you might have people that are just so busy, so they may rather get a phone call or rather get handed a flyer or rather get other information in another source. So we should always know what our clients are, what's their best form of communication, and keep separate lists to communicate. And of course, some of them may cross over. Some may like email. Some may like email and texting. But some of them may not read any of that stuff, and they want that old phone call, solid state phone call coming through. So it's important for us to really understand what they're looking for.
Absolutely. And along with that, with your, you know, your contact management system, you should be able to tag them in there to have a certain category that gets them updates, so that you're not, you know, every time that you do an email about some sort of update, the people that don't want to be communicated through email are not getting that. Therefore, their email is still good, because obviously, as we all know, people can opt out. And then when you really have something that the whole school needs to see, and you send it a blanket email to the whole school, not just an alert or what have you, you have a problem now, because you've been emailing people that don't want to be contacted through email, they're going to end up getting you know, have a bad taste in their mouth and then clicking that button to unsubscribe. Now, they still may come to your school, but they're never going to get that information.
I call it a white noise, actually. We create white noise within our school. So, in other words, perfect, easy example for people is we are doing an MMA full contact ground and pound seminar, adult-based, or a rape defense seminar, or a gun disarm seminar. We don't want to be sending that to the 2 and 3 year olds' parents. Some of them, as a parent, may be interested. Maybe they'll come to it. But the majority of them are not. Their kids are in the school, so they want things that are related to their children and relevant to their children. If we keep sending them stuff that's not, they start looking at our emails and it starts to become white noise and they just don't even read it. They see the tagline, they hit delete, and boom, they move on. I do that every morning when I wake up. I roll over, take my iPhone, open up my email, and just swipe and delete. Probably 15 emails. Some of them are probably pretty relevant and good for me, but I get too much of them from everybody, so I hit it and get rid of it. So we have to create good listeners, and the only way to do that is to really understand our clientele and to be real careful that we don't abuse the email or the social component of the communication network.
Yeah, and that kind of goes right into the next thing. There's two things that I wanted to say that we use to stay in contact is our Facebook fan page and then also our blog posting. So we actually do blog posting Monday through Friday. I have an article that I write and I post every day, Monday through Friday. That might be a little much for you. So maybe you do one article every other week and then send it out. I don't propose that anybody do it as much as I do. That's okay. But and then along with that, that article needs to be connected to your Facebook, but then also on your Facebook fan page, you just need to be putting things up there that are relevant to your school. And I would encourage you to use your school, not your personal Facebook fan page, or your personal Facebook page, because you really need to be driving those people to your actual page.
Right, exactly. And I have both. I have a personal page, which is kind of for my martial art friends, and some of my students are on that page. Then I have a school page, and, you know, that's just geared towards, you know, pictures of testing and updated events and what's going on and things as of me as an instructor, you know, speaking to the student or speaking to the parent of the student. It has to be a definite, you know, theme. And by the way, when it comes to social media, just another quick tip to people is be really, really careful with what you share. Remember, it's almost like you're in a fishbowl and people are watching you all day long and they're seeing what you do, and immediately people will judge you with the snap of a finger. So if you do anything, let's just say that you're, you know, politically incorrect and you're, you know, you're doing anything involving, I don't know, gun control and people are against it. There are going to be those people that don't like you anymore. Or it's about religion or it's about, you know, whatever. You have to be real, real careful as to what we speak about, because people, a majority of your followers, so to speak, your student base, your parents, they have all difference of opinion. So you have to watch, you know, those three things. Don't talk about religion. Don't talk about politics. Don't talk about money. Certain things like that. Be careful. And also stop if you do it already, or don't do it if you don't ever start it, is being too personal. Don't show family pictures, or, you know, don't put up gripes about your ex-wife or ex-husband, or, you know what I mean? Keep it about business and focus on the students and only about the students and what you do that benefits them and how excited you are. I had a friend who would always complain. He's selling his school. He's moving out of town. He's doing this and this. I'd watch his students say, please don't do that. Please don't, you know, quit. Please don't leave. And he continually was rocking and shaking his foundation. People didn't feel comfortable. They didn't know whether or not that they were gonna, gonna stay, you know, or whether he was leaving.
Yeah, that's crazy.
yeah, and be careful. Yeah. So that's important. And by the way, have themes. Have reasons of why you're posting. You know, what is it about? What are you doing? You know, maybe a theme of the week about focus and control or diet, and show photos and positive motivational things about it or whatever. But think about what we do and everything that we put out there as a way of really showing people a pathway to follow. That makes sense?
It makes total sense. And if I could throw one more thing out there with the Facebook fan page, like we allow other people to actually write on our wall. I don't lock it. We do monitor it, but I don't lock it. So we have individuals that, let's say, we do quarterly graduations. So at the graduations, we're always encouraging parents that are snapping pictures to go and put those pictures on our Facebook page so that other parents that maybe didn't have a camera or didn't get the same angle can actually, you know, take the picture for themselves too. So not everybody does it, but it creates more traffic on there as well.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting though, Dwayne, too, going back to that, we sometimes don't realize that not people don't, like I had a mom that wanted to post and talk to some of the other parents on our demo team, and she's so uneducated on Facebook, she opened up 3 different Facebook fan pages with our demo team. And I'm like, you do realize you're opening up, but you have 3 fan pages. You're inviting everyone to your own fan page that you designed. It's like, oh, I thought I was just, part of the, you know, she didn't know. So a lot of people are not educated. So we have to make it easy for them so that they can do this stuff. Sometimes they can't figure it out or they don't have the energy to do so. So that's why a lot of people don't bother posting. That's why
they
don't take pictures. So we kind of have to nurture them along the way. So, but that's 3. So that was our social media campaigning and planning. So I say theme it, you know, and look at it as like it were a marketing campaign. When are we going to do the ad? What are we going to say in the ad? What is our end all be all goal of speaking or doing or working on that specific topic?
That's perfect.
Good, good. So what else we have?
Well, I love these next two especially. Are big hits for us. The first one are good job cards. Sounds simple, but we have our instructors, before they leave every single night, they have to pick 2 individuals to write a good job card to. And it's just a little postcard, and they just write a little note in their handwriting and then address it to them and put the stamp on it, and the next morning it goes out. I can't tell you how big a deal that is to kids especially, but even adults who get a good job card from their instructor, and it's something that's written sincerely to them, and it's about specifically some sort of interaction that instructor either had with them or saw about them, and it is huge. Number one, kids love to get mail as it is, so when you send them that and the instructor does, it really makes that connection.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome, and in fact, we do that religiously in our school, and we have a little, and here's a quick, easy way for everyone to do it. We basically just print out our entire student grid, meaning all of our students who are training, and we break it down by rank, so it's per class in my school, so Little Warriors, you know, all one rank, Mighty Warriors, white and yellow, green and blue, based on our classes, and we have them in a notebook, a big 3-ring binder, so that now each teacher who's teaching, it's their job to do 10 good job cards a week. So they basically will teach a class, they'll come out, they'll pull a card, and they'll look in the class of who was just in that class, and they'll write a card to them right then and there. Or they'll do it at the end of the night. You know, Johnny, it was amazing, and it has to be realistic. It's not like you're going to be a great black belt, and you do that 3 or 4 weeks or 3 or 4 months in a row. You got to really be specific. Like, Johnny, the way you looked me in the eyes and the way you said, yes, sir, in front of the class was amazing. Keep up the great work. And then you sign the name. And then we basically highlight it out of the book, and we write the date that we did it. So it works as a 3-way function. One, the instructors know who they wrote to. So Sensei Ryan and Sensei Peter don't do the same person. Everybody
right.
has one person. And then the second thing is we know that at the end of the month who hasn't been there because they haven't gotten a good job card or why they're not getting recognized, and we change the motivation and the message a little bit more. So we haven't seen you. Please come in more. Or, hey, Johnny, we think – and we change the message. We think you're awesome. Just make sure when you come to class, blah, blah, blah. You know, we try to keep it realistic. And then that way at the end of the month or the end of the 5-week cycle, which we do, we then look in the book and we could get a good perspective of who's training, who's not, who's motivated, who's not, who we sent the cards to, et cetera.
That's beautiful. And ours is usually about a 2.5-month rotation, just the way that we've worked it out. So, that's great. And you kind of hit on, and we're not going to go there yet just because I want to go over this next one, but you kind of hit on the MIA, the missing in action calls and cards along with that. So everybody, that's another stick strategy is, you know, you got to call the people at the end of the week that haven't been there. You need to send them a card or whatever your system is and how it's set up. If you don't have a system for your missing in action people, you need to create one and follow it. The other one that I'm so excited about, and I don't see a lot of martial arts school owners doing this, is newspaper clippings. And so we have in our town, we have a weekly newspaper, and then we have a daily newspaper. So there's two different newspapers in our town. And so I take both of those and I comb through them for pictures or articles that have our current students or our past students inside of them. And then we clip it out, and I've got little cards that are made up that are actually, like the, not a postcard, but a real card that you can slip inside of an envelope that just
right.
says, I forget what exactly it says, but nice seeing you in the news, and it's got like a newspaper thing on there. And inside of there, we clip it out, and then I write a quick note with regards to whatever the picture is about, whether they were on the honor roll or whether they did this thing with their school or whatever it is. Then I send it to them, and I have almost every single time I get a thank you back from those, either a verbal one or a written thank you back, or the parents are coming in and saying, that was so nice, we didn't even see that in the paper. So that is one of the stick strategy that you can use. Even with older students, I still do it.
And it's interesting, though, and that's – are you doing it yourself?
Yes and no. The weekly paper I will go through and comb. I have my program director doing the daily paper, and she will go back through the weekly paper just in case I missed anything. And then my wife, I never read the daily paper. I'll look through the weekly one, but it sounds horrible. I'm just too busy. So I don't, but my wife does, and she knows all the older students because she's been here for quite a long time. The newer ones, she doesn't know as well, but my program director does. So I kind of cover both gamuts that way.
Right. Yeah, and you know what, that's the interesting thing, and I'm glad that I asked that question because people might be saying so far, so you want me to do 4-6-week calls, you want me to do we miss you cards, you want me to do motivational cards. When am I going to find the time, especially if it's like a one-man show or an instructor and, with a few little helpers? So it's really important to understand that you can delegate this stuff, especially if you have some helpers and assistants, or even, people that are, a program manager. They could be great to find these things and scour the papers and look for students and look for that motivation. So I think that's pretty easy as long as you delegate properly.
Certainly. Yeah. And then the next one is use your own students in your ads, as opposed to getting, an ad slick, from, one of the industry places or what have you. You could use their verbiage if you want, but I would replace it with an actual picture of one of your own students. Now, that brings up a whole other ball of wax, which I'm not going to get into, but I am going to mention is that there needs to be an ironclad written release form from the parent in order to use that child's picture. But that should be inside of your contracts or your agreements that you're doing anyways. But when you're going to do that, I would create a separate one and have them sign it again, just so that, they are under an understanding that, that you can use that picture, obviously, for proper reasons.
Yeah, and you know what? That's great, though. I actually have it on the back of my contract, and it's a separate clause. There are like 10 different clauses on the back of my contract that everyone has to initial. Because a lot of people will say, I never read that. And, whether it stands up in the court of law, which it doesn't mean ignorance is not, is not a reason that they could get out of a contract. So if they signed it, they have 3 days to read the contract in our state. But on the back, when they initial each category, even though they're not reading it, I know they're not. They're just hitting initial. It states that we are able to use voice likenesses, video, and pictures. Because I once had a parent say to me, you're taking pictures of the class. I don't want my kid to be in the picture. I go, take them home, because we take pictures quite often and we post them. It's part of what we do in our school, and we're not going to worry who doesn't have a waiver signed and who does. You either sign it or you can't train with us.
Right.
And it's on the back of our contract, so that's good. And then, hey, listen, if a parent really quits and years later they don't want you to use their picture, I immediately just get rid of it and axe it. But a lot of times people will say, I saw my photo when I was a kid in the paper. You used my picture and that kind of thing. So it is cool that then they'll get in contact with me about it.
Yeah. That's very cool. Hey, I know that we are almost 30 minutes into our call, and we have some other stick strategies to go through. So let's hold off on the rest of the stick strategies. And Allie, we will pick this up, and everyone will pick this up back on our next School Owner Talk call. Again, feel free, please, share this with other school owners that you may know to help them and encourage them to build their empire, if you will, and you know, basically become a next level school owner, and you know, adopting the mindsets and strategies that we're giving out to you guys. Everyone have a great day, and we will speak to you next time.